Welcome to GVEC Unplugged, a podcast made by employees for employees. Let's get started.
Hey, GVEC team.
We are back with a bonus episode of our paranormal podcast. You have Megan Zella here with Emily Gardner again. And we also have Rachel and Jessica joining us for these continued stories that were sent in by several of you guys. So we're going to jump in here first with a story sent in by Susan Wilkerson. And then Emily has another story. And then I've got another one here. And we'll just kind of take these on and see where we go. So are y'all ready?
Ready. Excited.
Okay, so Susan says, I worked for a business here in Gonzales that was in an old three-story house. Multiple stories, we've talked about this. The lamps and lights would be turned on and off at random. I worked on the ground floor, and on the second floor, there were very large closet doors that were on overhead rollers. When they were opened and closed, you could hear them downstairs. I would be the only one in the house, and they would open and close by themselves all the time. Once we hired a man to do yard work. He quit the next day, and when asked why, he said he could not work there because the house watched him.
Oh.
Needless to say, if I left something at the office that I needed, I just had to do without it because I refused to go there after dark. The house is currently a bed and breakfast, so it's still in operation. I mentioned that to the owners once that I used to work in that house and it was haunted. They just smiled and said, yes, they knew that.
Can we do a podcast there?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What bed and breakfast is this?
Susan, reach out.
I agree with what Rachel said, though. Susan, I want to know what bed and breakfast this is.
So I know not to go there.
Yeah, so Emily can avoid it. And Rachel, Jessica, and I can do a podcast there. We'll just,
I'll meet you for drinks across the street or wherever it's at. But
Emily's not going inside. Awesome. Well, Emily, you have a story from Andrea.
So I can actually relate to this one. So hers is, my kiddos and I used to live right behind the old abandoned Yoakum Hospital.
Oh, I know this one.
Hospitals, y'all. Hospitals.
Have y'all ever been in that one, by the way?
My mom used to work there, and she saw floating nuns that had no feet.
Well, that just, okay.
Yeah, well, Emily,
that solidifies my story in there.
She'll tell Andrea's story, and then she can add to it, because
I spent some time in there.
Yeah. With paranormal investigators.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Did you do one of the lockdowns?
Well, I don't know what that is. What?
Like, where you lock yourself in to investigate?
From like 11 p.m. until...
Oh, no. This was by accident.
Well, tell us and then we'll get into that.
Someone forced Emily to go.
Okay. She said my kid... Oh, the lights just blinked again, y'all.
Yeah, they're blinking.
It's you.
Yeah.
It's you.
It's not the same one, like, going out. There are different lights blinking in this room right now.
It's you.
They're kind of hovering over in that direction.
It knows it's freaked you out, and now it's, like, playing with you.
Yeah.
It's like, can I figure out...
Stop!
Okay, to the story.
I don't know that I want to anymore. Okay. She said, my kiddos and I used to live right behind the old abandoned Yoakum Hospital. At that time, my youngest, her daughter was about 3 years old. One evening, they went outside to play. I was sitting on the porch swing watching her go up and down the driveway. While she was playing, I noticed she stopped. She looked up at the hospital windows and waved. I gasped like, what the heck? Looked over at the hospital, which most windows were broken. And of course, I didn't see anything. I just let it go. I didn't question her or anything. She just kept playing like nothing was a spooky moment.
Ooh.
So about almost two years ago in November, my roommates had never been to a good old small town. So I invited them to Yoakum for the weekend. And I don't know what we were doing, but for some reason we ended up by the haunted hospital on a Friday night at like 10:30. So as we were driving around it, and those that don't know, it's three story, and I definitely believe her story. Mm-hmm. So we were driving around it and we saw a light on the first floor, kind of like where the side door is, where you mm-hmm. open it. So one of my roommates was like, there's a light on down there. I was like, no way. So we drove around. Well, there was a van out there. So I kind of was like, what are they doing? we left it alone that night because I'm, like I said, I'm scared. Yeah. The next day, they wanted to go back. So the next morning, we went back about 10:30. They were still there. So we just happened to ask them, you know, what they were doing. They were like, oh, we're paranormal, you know,
investigators. Can I just say, I like that you approached a random van.
I didn't.
At a haunted.
I did not. Yeah. One of my roommates was like, I'm pretty sure they're like investigating because they're still here and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I don't want nothing to do with this. Like, yeah. If you want to get out, okay. But so she did get out and they were paranormal investigators. They were in there the night before. So that was them and the lights that we saw. They asked us, my one roommate was like, can we go in there? And mm-hmm. they do Halloween there every year on the first floor only. So they'll decorate it all and people can come in on the first floor. But that's it, not the second and third floors. So she asked if we could go in there and they were like, yeah, we'll take you in there and you have to sign this waiver. And like, if something happens to you, it's not on them.
Well, this set it up real good.
Yes. So it was like, you know, we are not responsible for whatever happens when you go in there. So we went in there. The first floor, like I said, they have it all decked out for Halloween. So it's not, it's creepy, but it's like a fake creepiness.
Right.
So, however, the second floor, I believe a husband shot his nurse or a husband shot his wife who was a nurse there. That's right, Jessica, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the story there on the second floor at the nurse's station. So okay. When you walk up the stairs, which they're super creepy too, and definitely not safe to be up there, it's kind of the nurse's station. Then they have the little NICU. Well, it's super cold. I mean, the temperature drops when you're on the second floor. It is so cold in there. You walk into the NICU, mm-hmm. and it's as warm as can be in there.
Wait, is there like air conditioning meters? Because this is abandoned.
Yes. There's no power.
Oh, goodness. So I've driven by it. It's super creepy.
It's super creepy. So it's so cold. And then you walk into the NICU, and it's like a completely different temperature in there. It's warm feeling, like... It just...
The nurses are loving on their babies.
So it's extremely creepy. Mm. And you could just, like, feel that something was in there. It didn't feel right. Like, no. I didn't go to the third floor. I was done after the second floor. I got escorted out.
I was like, I'll meet you downstairs.
But my two other roommates did go halfway up to kind of see the third floor because it was very unsafe to walk on. And they both said that they felt something. The paranormal investigators said the night before that they were in there that they recorded someone talking to them. That's the extent of that story. And I did not stick around to find out anything else. I've never been back. I've never been anything else like that. And I will never go back to anything else like that.
That is creepy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I always like, as I'm walking through places, if I feel a temperature mm-hmm. change, I'm like, ooh.
And ghost. So the basement door at the back was actually open. So before we talked to the paranormal investigators, they wanted to drive around the back side of it. Mm-hmm. Well, and I actually have a video of it. It's super creepy.
Oh, you showed us this video, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes, that's creepy.
So one of the roommates, she loves this stuff, not scared of anything. She goes down the stairs and like opens the basement door, and it was cold. I mean, it's November, but that was like, she came out shivering. It was ridiculous.
Did it used to be the morgue?
Yes. Yes. That's where mm-hmm. my mom saw the nuns.
Yes.
They were coming out of the morgue room with their heads down crying. And when she looked down, they had no feet.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
So she loves this stuff, but she came out running and was like, but.
So it was enough to freak her out.
Yes. Yeah.
The place freaks my mom out.
Yes.
And your mom's seen some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, nope. Yeah. Okay. So, well, I'm not going there.
Yeah. And they were headed to the Yorktown Haunted Hospital after that, which is even worse.
Yes.
It's creepy too.
So apparently if you go to the Yorktown Haunted Hospital and you have tattoos, the spirits will pinch you and push you.
Because they don't like tattoos or what?
Because it was the nuns, right? They were...
Oh, the nuns were what? Oh.
And Ghost Adventures?
Ghost Adventures went and they have this whole thing and he like has tattoos all over his chest and stuff.
They have an episode on it?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll have to watch.
Have you ever gone and taken a tour of the old county jail in Gonzales?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is suffocating.
Well, just being in the old jail. So, like, the Chamber of Commerce houses out of the old county jail right now. And being in there for meetings or just walking in that main, like, once you walk into the chamber office, it's a little different. Like, you don't feel as creeped out. But that main entrance where you're just, like, waiting to go up to the gallows and all that, you just feel, like, suffocated. Like, you're just, there's pressure and you're like, mm-mm.
Yes.
Yeah. We did that. And before we heard the story of the history, we went into the cell. And I told my mom, I was like, I cannot breathe. My mom had to walk out of it.
Yeah.
She couldn't walk all the way through it. But I was like, I feel like I'm choking.
Yeah.
And then after we went through the tour, they told us about a prisoner who was in there who then got hung. Mm. And I was like, that's why I can't breathe.
You know, he cursed the town.
Yeah, say, that's the clock tower.
He's the one who cursed the clock tower.
Yeah. Yeah. The clock does not move. Yeah.
And then there's one.
Did you know this?
No.
Yeah.
There's like, oh God, a holding,
it's like my favorite
cell,
story.
And then there's a room that's literally blocked off that says do not enter.
Mm-hmm.
Lexi walked up to the rope and was like, nope. And then she went to the holding cell room and she like walked to the doorway, which I was already in the room. And she goes, nope. And like kept on going.
Wow.
And I was like, what's wrong with you? I don't feel anything.
Yeah. Yeah, Gonzales has some pretty intense history. So.
Yes. It's like, go there.
Yeah.
Well, if you're ever in Yoakum, go check out the haunted hospital. They have something for Halloween, but it's nothing like
the real stuff. Yeah.
Floors.
That's intense. Okay, so we have one more story here that part of our podcast team, Shelby, actually sent in. So, Shelby says, my senior year of high school, we had a soccer team sleepover at my best friend's house. We've been friends since fourth grade, so this is a home I've spent the night at hundreds of times. That night, everyone wanted to watch the movie Insidious. Oh, bad start. I didn't want to watch it, but everyone else did, so I was forced to watch it. It was a horrible movie, but I got through it. Once it ended, we all hang out for a while, and then when it got super late, we all went to sleep. There were at least 12 girls at this sleepover, so Erica's dad had set up two sets of bunk bed cots. I was sleeping on one of the top bunks, tucked into a zipped-up sleeping bag. Around 7 a.m., I woke up because the lower part of my calf was stinging a little bit. I unzipped my sleeping bag, and there was a bite mark on my lower calf. It literally looked like a vampire bit me. It was a big bite mark. I know none of my teammates unzipped my sleeping bag and bit me, and neither did a dog. I was on the top bunk and an extremely light sleeper. I came home later that day, showed my mom, and she was freaked out and speechless. She then advised me to not watch paranormal movies anymore. And it says that she has a picture of it on her old laptop for reference. She says everyone that she shows gets freaked out a little bit. I would, I would be freaked out on that too.
Ooh.
Yeah, if I woke up with a bite and I couldn't explain it, like, I'd be like, I'm not going to stay here anymore.
And not like a ant bite or a spider bite.
Yeah, like she says, like vampire-looking bite.
Mm-mm.
That's creepy.
I never got to have slumber parties to get bitten.
Rachel.
I know.
You just.
I missed out on a lot of spooky things.
See, okay. There was one. The only time that I've woken up from something creepy was in college. I worked at a summer camp. And we would groups that I was always assigned to were like the river riders or the extreme. So we would spend the night out on the banks of rivers and we were all like sleeping one night and none of us like had anything happen during the night that woke us up. But then when we woke up, myself, one of my co-counselor and then one of the campers woke up with what looked like, and there's no other explanation as to what it was, blood smeared, like somebody had taken two fingers and just like smeared it all over us. And we couldn't figure out, like there were no bugs anywhere. There were no like branches or anything that we had like stepped on or anything. Like we were all zipped up in sleeping bags and we couldn't figure it out. And we were like, what in the world? And we were just covered. And so we were like, we're going to go to the river and wash and just... It was creepy, but I've never woken up with like a bite. Cause that was the thing. We couldn't find bite marks or anything that would lead to where this blood came from. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, That's creepy. Okay. Wow.
Speaking of summer camps, growing up as like a teenager and stuff, I would work at one. And then after high school, the summer camp would also be like a Bible school during like fall school year time, but they would still host summer camps on the weekends and stuff. And so growing up, I would go to the summer camp and I would also work at the summer camp, and it was a church camp. So there was always chapel and praying and things like that, and a Bible school, obviously, during the year. So I'm attending the school, and at one of the weekend events, someone was possessed by something evil. And so they were kind of freaking out. We were having like a, it wasn't like church all the time. It was just kind of like a morning service. And then you could go do like the fun camp activities and stuff. And so it was like the first service, and they were just screaming and like talking in kind of this like deep possessed, like, I hate you, like what? Kind of voice, and kind of having this fit
in the middle of this service.
Well, yeah, because like, so you would start out with like a praise and worship. So they're singing you know, good church songs and songs about God and Jesus. And then like, they would kind of lead into like, all right, let's pray to get started. And they would have a sermon with, you know, some Bible passage. And so like, somewhere around like the end of the singing, or like they were kind of already freaking out during the singing, but just a little backstory of my religion, we're a little bit not like full Pentecostal, like, yeah, like, you know, jumping in the beehive hair to closer to heaven, but you know, it's a little bit exciting, like we're right. You know, like we sing, we clap our hands, it's not like a hymn and a pew and stuff like that. And so I guess people maybe didn't notice because it was already kind of like clapping and exciting and stuff. But then like, as it quieted down and they're like, all right, we're going to pray. And like that person is like screaming and like, then kind of like the, it was a husband and wife that owned and started it. And so her name was Rachel too, Miss Rachel. So she's just, you gotta, she has this cute little country voice. She's like, all right, everybody, well, we're, oh, okay, I'm gonna need my prayer warriors up here. And she like, so people came and like everyone prayed, but it's like not everyone was like near the person or whatever. And I was kind of back a good ways, and everyone's kind of like praying and just trying to cast out this evil that was presenting itself.
Right.
So that was going on, and I look up, and now this is, it is in the country, but it's not, I mean, they had a really good facilities care and stuff like that. So it wasn't like there were bats in the chapel all the time. And
right.
I look up while Miss Rachel is laying her hand on this person, praying for them. And everyone is like in the chapel is like reaching out their hands and like trying to just say, you know, God be with them, give them peace, cast that out, whatever it is. And there's a bat flying around right above where this person is. And then, so I guess I don't know, like religiously, it appeared that that possession was cast out of that person. And that's like when the bat appeared over their head. And then I was looking for the bat and it just disappeared. Like after the service, I was like, did y'all see the bat? There was a bat and I couldn't find the bat.
That's creepy. So, yeah, no, I would not have been going back to that summer camp.
Yeah, like Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
Church camps with demon possession and blood smearing church or blood smearing summer camp. So
it's, there's stuff out there. Creepy things that have come. Yeah.
So actually, one of my scary stories is we tried to contact in it. Okay, so I eventually put the Ouija board away and was like, I'm never going to touch this again because, okay, sorry, back to my aunt with the devil. It got to a point where every time my fingers touched it, it went to 666 and we'd have to sign off. So I never really got to contact anything because the moment that my fingers like touched the thing, it was like 666. And I was like, nope, goodbye. In the closet, you go.
Yeah.
What's 666?
The
mark of the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, girl. I had somebody whose bill was that, and they were like, charge me $67. And I was like, okay.
Wait, so that's why y'all stopped contacting or trying to?
No, it was before Emmett. So I had a friend who like got into Wiccan stuff, and she came to my house. She knew about Emmett, and she was like, let's find out more about him, and let's get on the Ouija board. And I was like, literally, every time I touch it, it goes straight to the devil. Like, I can't. Like, he's tasted my blood. He knows who I am. Like, he wants to challenge me, and I'm not going to do that. And she was like, no. The Wiccans have like ways of only contacting good spirits. So let's put a white circle around convenient. This.
Oh, this sounds safe.
Is a white circle is it like sand or like what?
Salt. Oh. And I was like, my mom would kill me if I poured salt in my carpet. That's not going to happen. And she was like, what about a piece of string? And I was like, a white piece of string is going to keep out the devil.
Like some bread, like the tiniest. Like,
the devil sees it and he's like, oh, can't get past that yarn.
Yeah. So she's like, well, let's just try it. If it goes to 666, we'll sign off and we'll put it away. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. Just shut up and we'll do it. So he grabbed string, like you would make friendship bracelets out of, and put it around us, tied it in a knot on both sides, and got on the thing. Nothing happened. So it did keep, apparently it worked because nothing happened. The moment she was like, well, nothing's happening. I really want to talk to Emmett because we haven't seen him in a really long time. She's like, what's up with him? And I was like, I think he's busy. Like, I just try not to bother him. And she was like, well, let's break the string. And literally the moment we broke it from a cornfield to the left, you could hear like this unearthly, like just coming. And it took forever. And I'm looking at her and she looks perfectly fine. And I'm like, do you hear that? And she's like, yeah, what is that? Is that your stepdad snoring? And I was like, that is not human. I was like, you broke the string. Do you hear it? And it like got closer and it got closer. And I was like, I told you not to do this. I told you I didn't want to put my fingers on this board. Now you contacted something. And it got closer. And my stepdad at the time would sleep with his window cracked open. And then obviously if there's an opening, it lets it in. So I was scared. As it got to the house, it was just boom, 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 boom. Ungodly sound. We'll never.
What did you do?
We signed off, said goodbye, and went to bed.
Did you like fall asleep?
Did you watch a Disney movie?
I think we ended up eventually falling asleep, but we were both just like, I told you, I was like, I can't touch that thing. And anyways, it did. It knocked three times. So there's thing of three.
Yeah.
And on every single window. So then we did go pour salt around.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us again for our spooky paranormal podcast. If you enjoyed listening in on these spooky stories and would like to hear more episodes like this, make sure you reply to our HR podcast email to give us your feedback. The same goes if you have ideas of how we can make the podcast more interesting to you, or you would like to join us on an episode. We want to hear from you. Be sure to subscribe to the GVC Unplugged podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts to be notified when new episodes are released. Take care of each other, GVC team, and stay safe till next time.